We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everybody. We are back from the All-Star break. We did our skills competition, didn't we, Jesse? Me and you?
We did. We went in the garage.
And shot pucks against
some
the...
Some feats of strength, yeah. That's pretty good. Hardest shot.
Well, who won these things?
I have no idea.
Was everyone a winner at our All-Star game in our garage?
I think so.
Well, hockey's back on now, which is good. So we're back into the podcast swing of things again. Tons of trades have happened.
Yeah, I was surprised there's actually been some early February stuff. So teams aren't just waiting until the last day to try to make the playoffs. At least they're trying to do some efforts now. So
they're going out and getting those players they want.
Yeah, I mean, February's a long month, man. You can't just skip February to wait for the trade deadline. I mean,
yep.
Why lose games, right?
There's two paths of thought that go into like when you're picking a player. You either pick them because you want them, or you wait to see what the market does.
Yeah.
And then you draft them late, or you trade for them on the day. So like now that Muzzin is traded, now the defense market is like really high. So like Dougie Hamilton or any of those guys that are on the block, then
yeah,
their value is crazy now.
For sure.
I don't know which one I like better. Going out and getting the player early, or just like waiting to see how the market unfolds by itself?
I kind of like just getting a player. Then you just like can shut off your phones and you just play the game.
Well, judging by how you play fantasy hockey,
it's true.
Made all your trades in the first 2 months.
I'm very proactive. Yes, that's true. It may not be the best strategy, but yeah, I mean, if the Leafs need a guy and like Muzzin's there, whatever. Let's get Muzzin early February and then wait for him at the 28th. Like, let's just do it. Get him, you know, chemistry with the team kind of thing. So I'm all about proactiveness. So that's for me. I don't like waiting, but don't get me wrong, there's still lots of good things for those who wait. You can definitely get guys at super value because no one is phoning Carolina for Dougie Hamilton anymore.
Right.
Except for the one team. And they're like, ugh, yeah, whatever. Give me a second. Thanks.
And they're going to be moved for peanuts now. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. We're going to talk about the trades that happened, some guys that are in the rumor mill, and then kind of speculate where they're going to go, fantasy implications of that. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game.
Yep.
Because we didn't do any pods because there was no games on.
Yeah, there was no hockey. There was
like two games in the week or something, and it was just going to be rehashing the same thing over and over and over again.
Nothing to talk about.
So did you watch it?
I watched the skills. I refused to watch All-Star games, so to answer your question, I did not watch the All-Star game. I said you said a period of it or something?
I watched the first game. Okay. So there was three games or whatever. The conferences play each other, and then they go to a final.
And then best of the, yeah, okay, gotcha.
Right, so I watched the first one. It's not really exciting.
Like, is it just like a pass 3-on-3 fest? You just
no one's touching anyone.
Is there face-offs?
Yep.
Okay, so it's not like just like the puck starts at the other end, like road hockey style?
But there's very few face-offs.
Yeah.
Like, you get an offside here and there.
I mean, the goalie probably plays the puck all the time.
Yeah.
There's no real... Yeah.
They just want to get through it, not getting injured.
Yeah, they're not grinding it over the whistles.
They don't want to win that $1 million for their charity or whatever.
Yeah.
What about the skills? We watched the skills. I left halfway through the skills competition because I could not listen to another commentator talk about absolutely nothing.
Yeah, they're trying to fill like 10 minutes of stuff in like an hour. It's brutal.
And like they're waiting for the next person to get set up for the event.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there babbling on and on and on. Like, we watched the first couple, and then it was like the shot was left, and then the shooting competition was left. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I'm just losing my mind.
Positives for me was the chick skater. That was wicked.
Yeah, that was very cool.
That was actually really cool to see that there was, you know, something new in the world. I was stoked that she destroyed Keller. Keller's just a little boy. He can't skate. That's fine. I'm not trying to be sexist at all, but I mean, it was great. I mean, I was so happy for the chick to destroy someone. So Hopefully Keller's getting ribbed like crazy at his old team, or back in Arizona. So that was really cool to watch.
We were cheering for the girl. Like,
I want her to win it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that'd be the dream. McDavid falls or something. I mean, Hesekainen fell right away. I was like, sweet. I hope this chick just takes it. I was like, that'd be so cool. But unfortunately, she didn't. Even like some of the worst male skaters beat her. So that was kind of weird. So there is a little, you know,
disparity some there.
Little, yeah, there's still disparity of genetics and all that, whatever stuff. So that kind of sucks. But she's still fantastic. So good for her.
That was cool. But then it was like completely overshadowed by Pierre Maguire and his awkward conversations when they were commentating the game the next day.
Yeah, I heard about it. I didn't actually read any of the comments, but I just heard that she was like defending him. So I was like, okay, then I didn't really read it. If she was like kind of outraged, I would have paid more attention.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, he's my friend, but I guess he's an idiot, this kind of thing. And I was like, oh, man.
There was some playful ribbing and maybe just like if they were friends and stuff in their house, I would find, but that'd be fine. But not in like a national televised game. It was like a little bit like over the line. People were kind of a little cringy with what he was saying.
For sure. But yeah, other than that, I don't really care for the All-Stars, man, or skills either. I mean,
what about the players?
The one
Pettersson did good in the shooting.
Yeah. I mean, the players are all good and stuff like that, but like the one passing competition.
Oh, bless you.
Sorry. You can leave that in. Big sneeze. Okay, so yeah, the passing competition is brutal. I feel like anyone that gets nominated for that, if you don't know what that is, that's the one where they have to like pass into the nets or whatever.
Yeah, there's which is more
of like
tiny.
It's like more of a shooting competition in a way because you sort of just like accurately shoot the pass into the
like
net.
Like saucers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I felt bad for the guys in that event because you can be there for like 10 minutes, it feels like. I really hate the new changes to the accuracy competition. I hate
where
that
it changes.
Yeah, I hate that you have to hit the lights now. Like, what? How are you ever supposed to beat these old records? Like, you can't just walk in and like Daniel Sedin it in like under nine anymore.
5 for 5.
Yeah, it's so brutal now. You gotta sit there and be like, oh, my light didn't go on, and so it doesn't count. Like, great. How fun is that? That's not fun for anyone.
Yeah.
So I think that's the lamest thing I've ever seen.
And there's so many times when they'd hit the target after the light had changed.
Yeah.
And it's like, does that count? No.
No.
They hit the target.
But they hit the target. I know. It's so dumb. It's like I said, I usually watch it. And then even the hardest shot this year had nobodies.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, okay, I'm a Capitals fan and John Carlson wins. I mean, like, who cares? Like, no one's like, oh, man, John Carlson, that's the guy. That's the heaviest shot in the NHL. It's like, come on.
Did Weber even shoot?
No, Weber wasn't even there. He didn't get invited. Yeah. No Weber, no Chara, no Ovi. Not that Ovi's a god. Burns is a big guy and he always gets in it, but he can't shoot that hard apparently, like never.
No.
It's like, and you get like guys like Stamkos. Like, do people think Stamkos can shoot hard? Like, is this something that people are like,
did he break 100?
No, he got like 96 or something.
Yeah.
But you don't get me wrong, the guy is like, it can shoot, but I mean, you can't just give all these one timer guys in there and expect them to do anything. So
yeah,
my biggest impressed moment was Seth Jones, though, because Seth Jones broke 100 times a couple times. I was like, oh, cool, good for him.
Seth Jones played really, really well and showed everyone that he's so underrated this year.
I
think he goes high next year in fantasy drafts.
Yeah. I mean, he's been bouncing back now, so his points have been starting to rack up again, and I think he'll definitely be a top 10 defenseman next year, maybe top, I don't know, depends where he finishes, but he's going to be kick butt next year, so I want him for sure. Now that he looks like, you know, totally back from the injury and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are my main takes from the All-Star Skills Competition. Like I said, pros were the chicks. Pros were seeing the players have fun with each other, obviously, like that. The cons are everything, as I mentioned. So, it is what it is.
Goudreau winning that, like, relay thing. Like, he has insane hands.
Yeah, him and Kane, those are cool.
Yeah, that was good to see. And then my other big one that I really liked was I really liked Hesekainen, actually.
Yeah,
he showed up and he played really well in the games, and you know, being in the fastest skating thing as a defenseman, like as a rookie defenseman, is sweet.
Yeah,
that's cool. I hope he really shoots up people's draft board next year as like a Klingberg, Hesekainen. They do the Burns Carlson thing there, and they get lots of love in the off season.
True.
Let's jump into schedule before we get into trade talks.
All right.
Flames is the only team this week that played two games.
Good.
They're playing against San Jose and Vancouver, so split maybe
for
them.
Yeah.
Which is good if you don't have any Flames on your team like I don't. Do you have any Flames on your team?
No, nothing, unfortunately.
Every time the Flames play, it's like 3 points for Goudreau, 4 points for Monahan.
Yeah.
Geo gets four.
Yeah.
And some block shots.
Good news for Reddick owners, I think. Because they'll probably just play them both games.
Yep.
Because it's spread out enough, I think.
Yep.
So,
I think it's Tuesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Tuesday,
so
Saturday.
I doubt they give Smith a look at any of those because he's, like, cursed. He gets 43 shots and loses every time, or Riddick gets, like, 26 and is, like, cruises. And he's like, yeah, thanks, team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, he'll probably get both starts, so that's good for him.
There's a couple. I think there was only about 13 teams playing four games this week only. Mm. So, like, everything's going back into the full swing of things.
That's good.
Check out who your guys are playing. Boston plays the Islanders, Rangers, LA, and Avalanche.
Okay.
That's probably a sweep, unless Islanders can pull off an upset there. They've been doing really good
lately.
Yeah,
it'll be a 1-1 Islanders game for sure, 2-1. It'll be a grinder game for sure. That's the only game I'd be worried about.
I think they beat Rangers, LA, and Avalanche. So Boston, yeah. Play all your Boston players, load up that top line.
Yeah, Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron have been back to their old ways for sure. So,
yeah. Do that. And then also Carolina. This is an interesting one because Carolina is not a powerhouse, but they're playing Pittsburgh. And then Buffalo, Rangers, Devils.
Hmm.
So that also could be a 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Fire up Carolina players. This is a nice segue because the first person in the trade talk was Niederreiter for Rask. That was the first trade that happened before we went on like a little bit of a break there.
Yep.
And Niederreiter is playing on top line in Carolina. He has 5 goals in 4 games, 18 minutes of ice time, lots of power play time. Like it? Yay or nay?
Yeah, Niederreiter was always an awesome player to watch. I mean, I never thought he got the opportunities. He got decent opportunities in Minnesota, but it was always like bouncing between the first and the second unit power play, so it wasn't as good.
You're playing with Stahl and Granlund.
Yeah, I mean, it was
in
like
Minnesota.
Yeah, it was like okay. I mean, there's no real all-star in Minnesota, so like, but if he can play with Aho, who my boy is an assist machine, he'll help him out. So yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's great. I have no trades, as we were discussing before this podcast even happened. I was looking, I was like, I have 2 left for the year, and I was like, my team is basically locked in. So otherwise, I would already taken a stab at Niederreiter just for the Aho peripheral points, or sorry, whatever peripheral.
Having
works.
The stack.
Yeah, exactly. I like having a stack. So
yeah,
feels good when you get the 2 points per the 3. But yeah, no, I think he's gonna do great. Next year, he definitely is on my eye. If he stays on the
on
top,
your eye.
He's on my eye. If he stays on the top line for the whole year and starts there next year, definitely a guy I want to draft.
He's caught your eye.
He's caught my eye on my eye. Whatever. Same
there
thing.
You go. Yeah, I love Niederreiter. I think he's fast. Needs fast players to play with.
Yep. Yeah, that was a huge steal for Carolina. I mean, Niederreiter's upside is dwarfs Rask's upside. So I mean, who cares about Victor Rask playing third line center in Minnesota? So if you want the fantasy implications of that, I'd say there's zero.
Yeah.
I would hope that no one is thinking Rask is going to do anything, so I'm sure most people are consensus with that. So yeah, I think that's a huge win for Carolina. I think that's a huge trade win for them.
Yeah, are you going out and if you had trades would you go out and pick them up?
Let's
say you have a 25 forward roster.
Yeah, I mean, if I got lots of roster space, absolutely, for sure. If I have anything more than 15 forwards probably, or even 15 forwards, I'd look at him. 14 forwards, something like that. Yeah. He's definitely a guy that's going to just get no pressure minutes because Carolina's not like, they're not going to be breathing down this guy's neck, being like, we came out and got you. We need you to get these points to get us to the playoffs. They just wait, like, hey, man, play your game. We want to see what you got, kind of thing. We'll give you the opportunity to the top nine. And he's just going to be, you know, learn the system, get as many goals as he can. So I think he has a great setup for the rest half of the year. So I think he'd be a great fantasy playoff player for you guys in your head up matches if you really want to do a cool play for a week or something like that. So yeah, I like him a lot. I'm a big fan.
I think it also bolsters the Carolina top line.
Yeah.
With Teravainen and Aho.
Yeah.
I think both of them get huge bumps up from this because who was on that line before? Was it actually?
It was Furland, maybe,
right.
Sometimes.
Yeah, Furland,
but
yeah.
He even got bounced up and down a few times. So, and as we'll talk about later, Furland is definitely a guy who probably is going to be moved. So. Yeah. It's not like Niederreiter's going to lose the spot anytime, so.
Niederreiter kind of has a lot less pressure because Minnesota's like, we need to get past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Minnesota's like, we're going to make the playoffs. We're going to hopefully not get bounced in the first again or the second or so.
And Carolina's like, you know, if we make the playoffs, good,
but
we're going to rebuild here kind of, so we're just getting these young players
that
are
fast.
Yeah, I mean,
our best player is like 21 years old kind of thing. It's like just, come here. Hopefully you can get some chemistry with the top guys. And, yeah, moving forward, we'll go from there. So
that's just got to be a monkey off your back.
Yeah, I like those situations.
Worrying to perform.
Yeah.
What about Muzzin? Muzzin going from L.A. to Toronto, huge pickup for the Leafs. I think that's probably their final piece need, right? They needed a right-handed defenseman? Was it a left?
Well, they need right-handers, and they got a left, but he was too good not to get, so I'm guessing so.
But a little more defensive help that puts Hainsey down to the third or second pair.
No, I think it's an amazing pickup. It costs a first, which is going to be a late first anyway, so who cares if you pick 27th because of the Leafs, whoop-dee. They give up a prospect. That sucks, but, you know, the word prospect is still there for a reason. Muzzin's not exactly old and crippled, so it's not like they're picking up some super rental-type player guy. His contract's cheap. He's only getting paid like $4 million or something, or six.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's one of those two numbers.
It's very manageable.
It's very non-destructive cap hit. He immediately moves up to the top pair, helps out Riley. Riley can just be even more offensive. Fantasy implications, I don't think it matters. Muzzin's not getting power play time. He's not getting, maybe second unit. Maybe second unit. I don't really know. But
he played a fair amount of minutes last night.
Like, I'm sure he'll get all the 5-on-5. He'll definitely penalty kill. But I don't see him getting any significant, maybe second unit.
Yeah, they gave him some second unit time. He's still working his way in.
Yeah.
Right? So it's hard to tell what.
But even still, he'll never take the top unit power play.
No. So. He's a shutdown.
Yeah. Like, he's a good defenseman. He's got some offensive upside. I think he's had a career year last year, so it's not like the guy is in the decline or anything.
Yeah,
I think it's an amazing pickup. It's a crappy first for a proven winner. The guy's won the cup like two times already. It's not like he's just some rando kid coming in. He can tell Gardner to be like, hey, bro, this is not how you minus five in a game seven. Like, I mean, relax. Yeah. Like, he can help these guys out, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's amazing. I don't know what else the Leafs can do.
This has got to be win now.
I mean.
They have to win this year.
It's definitely starting that window. Like, that window is opening this year, and this is the win now window. So, before the offer sheets come in and start stealing their stars away, I mean, this is it. If they could win this year, that would be insane. So
that would give them another 2 or 3 years where they're still very competitive with the team that they got.
So direct fantasy implications of Muzzin, I'd say very little. Don't pick him up. Don't blow your mind over him just because he's on the Leafs team. And his only points are going to be 5-on-5 points, which are, like, so rare. So, for me, awesome real life, but I feel like he had a better fantasy setup on the Kings because he actually was on part of those like units that mattered. Yeah. Now they're gonna be like, hey, dude, we just need you to play defense. We're not expecting you to come in and, you know, snipe a wrist shot because we're down two goals. Yeah, exactly. Don't be a hero. We need you to just, you know, play your defensive game. Like, we literally don't care. Just make a breakout pass, make a check, make this. Don't do soft plays.
We got forwards here in Toronto that will score.
Yeah, we got we got guys that can put the puck in the net. We're not.
You just need to get it past this blue line, and then you're set. You need to stay back there.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to be drop passing to you at the blue line. We're not looking for you at there for anything. So just, you know, exactly. So it's pretty. It's got to be nice to hear that, you know, oh, okay, cool. I just get to play defense. Whatever. Yeah. I'm a defenseman. Okay, that works. I don't have to pay attention to, like, when to pinch and I need to wrist shot the scores. Yeah, so, it's good for him. I hope, I like the pick. I've always liked Muzzin. I think he's awesome, so I'm glad he's there.
That's a great pickup for the Leafs. What about on the other side for LA? Does this
great rebuild picks? Yeah.
Doughty? Doughty is going to be eating all the minutes, which he already is.
Yeah, I think there's no change. If not, I think it's worse for Doughty.
Really?
Yeah, because he has to play with a crappier defenseman now.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. I mean, he still gets the number one power play unit, but the power play doesn't score anyway, so who cares? I don't know.
Yeah, LA's in a world of hurt right now.
I talked to some people, and they thought that they should have just paid more to get Doughty, and that was something interesting. Like, I don't know if Doughty was available, but if you're paying a first and prospects for Muzzin, could you have paid another first to get Doughty kind of thing? And just be like, I'll give you this first and the next year's first or whatever.
Yeah.
And then give us Doughty, because your team's obviously in decline.
Doughty would love to play for Toronto.
That's what I thought to do. Like, I mean, does he want to leave? Does he want to do? I'm sure they discussed that, and I thought that's what was going to happen. But I don't know what the Kings are going to do. There's no point of having to rebuild with Doughty. But, I mean, again, it's like Doughty has cups. Like, he doesn't care.
Well, probably they, it's so they also can't pay Doughty.
And true, yeah.
Right? They don't have the cap space to bring in him for his remaining 2 years of his contract or whatever.
I don't even know what he's getting paid after. Right now. So I'd have to, it doesn't matter, but it's obviously more than Muzzin. So
yeah, Muzzin was probably a bargain for a stay at home defenseman.
And the same, like a one step down from Doughty, like from elite to, you know, tier one defenseman kind of thing. Yeah. So
yeah
that's actually something to think about. I didn't think about that, of course. Toronto's already in cap heck, so.
Yeah. This next one here really kind of shook up the trade world with Bjugstad for Brassard, mm-hmm. and then there was McCain and what can I think of who it was?
McCann was the other guy, and then
Shan. And then some picks went to Florida.
Yep.
This trade had a lot more going on than just this trade, because there's lots of rumors about them using these picks and Brassard for Panarin and trying to get Bobrovsky with that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot going on here. So the Pittsburgh for Florida trade, what do you think those guys? I like Bjugstad going to Pittsburgh. If he plays with Crosby, he has that effect on guys to get points.
Yeah, I think it sucks, to be honest. I'm just being for fantasy value for Bjugstad. Bjugstad, if you don't know, is a natural center, but he didn't get to play center in Florida. And surprise, surprise, Pittsburgh traded their third line center away. I think Bjugstad is just going to rot as a centerman, either on the second or third line. Well, sorry, obviously the third line when Malkin's back healthy. So I see zero fantasy implications for this. Bjugstad is not going to go on a 5-on-5 tear on the third line with whoever he plays with in Pittsburgh, which is probably brutal. He might barely get second unit power play. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, spoiler, don't pick up Bjugstad for fantasy. He's going to be absolute garbage the rest of the year. I would be blown away if he gets more than 5 points in the remaining 30 games. He has no deployment. He has nothing. He's just going to go out there and hope to get some 5-on-5 points.
Okay, wait. Take this into your brain and let it percolate for a second. What if Malkin is injured?
Okay, if Malkin's
injured. He's out 2 games right now with some injury. Maybe they did this trade thinking that Malkin wasn't going to be back the rest of the year. So all of a sudden, Bjugstad's playing with Kessel and Rust on the second line.
Okay, I mean, it's better for him 5-on-5, but he still doesn't crack the first unit power play.
No.
Like, they still give it to someone else, which is the points in Pittsburgh are first line power play. Or Crosby or Malkin somehow.
Yeah.
Bjugstad, he's a centerman. They traded a center for him for a center. The cool thing about Bjugstad is he's 6'6", so it's another big tough guy for the playoffs.
Yep.
But regular season, yeah, I think he's just, like I said, a great guy, I'm sure, but I think he's fantasy garbage, so I'm not interested. He had a better chance to do points in Florida. Now he's going to be the Jordan Staal of yesteryear, right. Hanging out, but right. Not as good as Jordan Staal.
Trying to get some younger guys in there. Brassard, not really...
Brassard's like the definition of like a trade bait player. Like the fact that you talked about that thing about getting Panarin like makes 100% total sense to me, because like what else do you do with this guy? He's a serviceable centerman. He can get 50 points. He's a good player. He's never going to win you the Stanley Cup or anything. So,
but he's clutch. And he plays well in playoffs.
Yeah, and he was drafted and played in Columbus before. So.
Yes,
he does
right.
Have some time. He was supposed to be Rick Nash's star centerman like 10 years ago. I remember the hype for that, but...
In Florida, they have him with Trocheck and Hoffman right now.
Oh, they make him a winger. Yeah. We'll have to see how the experiment works out. I mean, he's definitely a winger upgrade over Malgin and Sheehan, as I look at now.
Yeah.
So, good for him. But, so if anyone... Sure, I like Brassard better than Bjugstad going forward for sure now. Because
really?
At least he has a line. Like, I mean, Trocheck, Hoffman, Brassard is actually a good line. But beyond that, I don't think there's major fans. Like I said, they got to flip Brassard.
I don't think they were looking for Brassard.
Yeah.
Out of this deal.
Yeah, it's not like, wow, we're targeting Brassard. I mean, the fact that they got some picks out of it and a trade chip guy, that's sick.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that another centerman is what Florida needs. There's no way.
No.
They got that Bjorkstrom kid who's amazing. Trocheck, when he's healthy, is the GOAT. And obviously, Barkov's not going anywhere. So.
And they got Vetrano coming up.
Yeah, they got
out of the wings.
Yeah, that team, yeah. Center is not the problem with that team.
They got three picks, a second, a fourth, and I think the other one was like an eighth or something. I'm not entirely sure on the third one.
Yeah, picks are picks, man. It's always good to trade that stuff, so I like it.
I think
Florida crushed that trade.
There's something going on here, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that they just got three picks, two players. Like, you got to be either building up for something or...
Yeah, the thing is, like, these aren't win game players. That's the thing. Like...
Yeah, exactly.
Broussard might help you win a couple regular season games, and do you want to just back into the playoffs at eighth wild card? Like,
exactly. I mean, they're not win-now players, and they're not plan for the future players. They're not prospects.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like their medium grade, their upgrade for somebody like Columbus that wants a second, third line guys. Like, it just makes sense for them to make some sort of trade.
Yeah, I agree. Move them.
And the rumor has it they want Bob and Panarin. Can you imagine Panarin? Like, how does he fit into the top six with Huberto, Barkov, Dadonov, Hoffman, Trocheck?
He immediately fits in. He
like,
just,
into that
spot
where
Broussard
is.
You move Dadonov down, and Panarin becomes the top line with Huberto, Barkov, and Panarin. That's disgusting. That's so nice. Does Panarin want to live in Florida? Maybe.
He said he does.
But, I mean, the market there is the worst market ever. So if he thinks Columbus sucks, I mean, going to a... You want to play for 8,000 people at home? I mean...
Panarin doesn't care about the crowd. He just cares about how exciting the city is.
Interesting. So he likes the nightlife. He wants to hang out in, like, Miami.
That's
okay, that
said.
Makes more sense.
The reason he came to play in the NHL was to play in a big city.
Yeah.
He wanted to play in New York.
Okay.
Or Nashville. Or, like, you know, these... San Jose.
Yeah, the big...
L.A.
Anaheim. Yeah, L.A., yeah.
Like, he wants to play in these big cities where the nightlife is, where the celebrities are, where everything is. He doesn't care about hockey at all.
Mm.
And he said this before. He's like, I just want to play in a big city.
Yeah.
I want to have the excitement of living in a big city and downtown. And
very interesting guy.
Very weird.
But you can't fault him for it, because I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, you could live in a big city. Don't get me wrong. Florida would be sweet for that, I'm sure. But, I mean, no one's recognizing you on the street in Florida. Nobody's like...
Miami?
Aren't that me? No, that's not happening in the streets of Miami. So, who knows? But I would love him to go there. I think that'd be so cool. I think that'd be a great top six. And it's another piece to push Florida up the rung. And they need a goalie, no matter what. I mean, no shade on Luongo. But the dude's old, can only play so many games, his knee sucks. He's
what would that take?
A few years, but
what would that take to get Bob and Panarin?
So much.
Like,
double Vezina winner and a guy who's gonna have back to back 85 plus point seasons.
Like, I'm saying these picks got to go the other way.
Like, those picks minimum aren't even like worth anything.
Like, a first, and then is one of these other guys on the way out? Like, is Hoffman?
Is it a Trocheck trade? Like, I mean, is like what value is it of Huberto or something? Like, I don't know.
Or maybe they ship Yandel off?
I was thinking that. Maybe Ekblad or something?
I don't know, man. That's crazy.
It's a lot of stuff to... Maybe they get rid of their rookie Bjorkstrom and first, second, fourth.
It's got to be these four picks plus their first round this year.
Yeah.
And then...
A roster player for sure.
Yandel and...
I mean, Broussard for sure. Okay.
And Yandel and Broussard.
Yeah. So Broussard... Ekblad, those picks, and you might get those.
Yeah.
And then you send a goalie back. You send Reimer back for some reason or whatever. So they have a pseudo backup to Korpisalo or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be some insane trade I would love to see, but you know, you don't get to see those very often.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, let's talk about some of the stuff that we've heard, some of the rumors that are going around, some of what we think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those trades are the ones that already happened.
Yes.
So we have a whole month till February 25th. Before that, I'm going to ask you a question before we get into the ones that we have written down here.
Sure.
What trade needs to happen before the 25th? This is an absolute must trade.
Okay.
Something that if this doesn't happen, like, everyone's angry. Like, because this needs to happen just to solve the situation so we can stop talking about, like, the Tavares.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this, he needs to go somewhere so we can stop talking about Tavares.
Yeah.
And he did.
I mean, for me, it's Bobrovsky. He's got to go. Yeah, I mean, they play him half the time. I think he has to
not
go.
Playing very well.
And he's not really doing very well. I think he's got to go. I think Simmons has got to go, maybe. I think
You only get to pick one here. Oh, just like, what one trade you'd be so happy if this gets done? Bobrovsky?
I mean, it's super biased because I own Bobrovsky on my own fantasy team, but I still think for the Hawks. Okay, sure, then, yeah. My tip is I would love Bobrovsky to be traded to a contender team.
Not Florida?
Not Florida. Actually, well, Florida would actually be awesome. I would even take Florida. Why not?
That'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say the other end of that, that Panarin,
yeah,
it's has like to go.
One of those two distractions, yeah.
He said, they've both said numerous times that they need to leave, that,
yeah,
like, leave, trade me, I don't want to play here anymore. Bobrovsky's throwing fits on the bench and stuff. Like, he's showing up late to meetings and stuff. He doesn't want to play. He gets scratched by Tortorella.
Yeah.
They're just having yelling matches in the hallway, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, just get these guys out of there so that we can all move on and stop talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, they got to realize the team's not going to, you know, win anything. It's not like they're in the room like, this is the year, boys. We got it. I mean, you got, like, turmoil from your goalie. The best player on your team is, like, already planning next year, looking at apartments and fucking whatever else. So
In Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that for sure. I mean, obviously, it's super biased, but one of those two players for me is the ones that had to be done. Because, I mean, what do you do with these guys? Would you let them walk? You can't just let them walk. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's like, this isn't a Tavares situation. You see what happens when you just lose a star for nothing.
Yeah.
So, extract the value from Panarin, trade the guy to Florida, trade him to somewhere, get all the chips you can. You can get paid for this guy.
Yeah.
Because
he's doing so great.
He'll fit in any team, and every team in the NHL, no matter how good you are, needs a goalie. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Teams want goalies, and the guy won the Vezina twice. He's obviously super not feeling it there. Whatever. Bobrovsky's my answer. There you go.
I thought we were gonna have different ones than the ones that we just talked about, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So let's just start chugging through the list here. You mentioned Simmons.
Yeah.
He's been in the rumor mill for a couple months. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to play with the team. He wants to stay in Philly.
Team guy, whatever.
What do you think happens with him? Do they move on? Philly's been looking amazing. P.S.
Yeah, they're winning. Whatever.
Eight in a row.
Classic Philly. I mean, you can lose 12, win 8. I mean, it's just basically how it goes. This happens every year.
Yep.
Last year, I think they went up to 11 or something. I don't remember, but they had a decent win streak. Philadelphia still sucks. I don't care. But
I just want Philly, Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But they're getting better. Playing against each other. That's all I want. I want
Drew and Crosby beating the crap out of each other. Or Malkin fighting Simmons or something like. So, and then the games are like 9-3. Or sorry, what was that? It was like 8-7 or something. I forget what it was. It was like the best game ever. It was like Fleury.
Goal.
Yeah. Fleury versus like whoever was in net for Pittsburgh or that Philly at the time. But Simmons, I don't know where he goes. A lot of people think he's going to go to the Oilers. I think that's terrible because I think Simmons is like Lucic's upgrade. But the dude still can't skate with McDavid. So again, it doesn't address anything. So he'll go to some contender-ish team, or obviously if Pittsburgh keeps winning, then they hang on to him. So
I got a suggestion for them.
So I don't know.
I really like the fact that they want some more young guys in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're doing that. Konechny's getting a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and Patrick's getting
Kieser and stuff. Yeah. Those guys are performing, right? They're starting to come out of the woodwork a little bit, just a little more time. So they don't really need Simmons to stay there and be any sort of presence.
No, they got JBR and stuff. They got players.
Islanders have been looking for someone to play on the power play. What does Simmons do? He plays on the power play.
Yeah, they need a net front guy. They need a guy that...
The Islanders have like the 27th rated power play or something like that.
That does not even surprise me.
It's just like
at all.
An atrocious power play. And they were saying like, we just need someone to play on the power play that's going to score.
Yeah.
Simmons.
I love it.
I can't think of a guy that's more set for that scenario.
Yep.
He's going to sit in front of the net. He's going to collect power play assists. He's done it for years with Giroux and that top line. Yep. And all they need to do is ship over maybe a couple young guys, help Philly in their little bit of a rebuild that they're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the goalies go. Maybe they ship Grice over, and then they keep running with Leonard.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think it's great. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like I said, I mean, but yeah, Simmons, I think they should definitely trade him.
But I'm saying Islanders.
Islanders would be a really good fit. I do like that. I mean, it's literally what the Islanders need is a guy to just be a power play specialist. 27th is not going to get you anywhere in the playoffs. You have to score on your power play opportunities in the playoffs, although you don't score at all. Especially on a team like Islanders who are brutal. Don't get me wrong, they're amazing, but I mean, they're brutal for scoring because, I mean, once you get past Barzal and a few other guys, it's the Filppulas and the yeah. the Casey Cizikas's and stuff. And yeah, they can chip in every once in a while, but you want consistent scoring. And
Simmons was playing on the third line, but number one power play.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what he could do for the Islanders, yep. even if he doesn't fit in the top two lines.
I mean, he has to fit in the top six. There's no way Islanders' top six can't be that good.
Islanders are amazing right now, though. They're doing
the
really good.
Trotz is amazing, is what's happening. I mean, you can't tell me that they can't send down
Josh Bailey,
Beauvillier or something, or Brock Nelson can move down or something, or Andrews. I don't know. There's definitely space for the guy there. And then their top power play, definitely.
Yeah.
You don't need Brock Nelson on your power play. I mean, geez, come on. There's guys you can put on a better first unit. So, yeah, I think that's a great trade. Obviously, if Philly keeps winning, he's not going to get traded, so that kind of sucks. So we'll see where they're at the end of the month.
So where does he have more fantasy value, staying in Philly or moving?
Moving, for sure.
If he goes to Islanders, are you going to want him?
Yeah, for sure. He's going to play 22 minutes in the Islanders.
No.
Dude, Trotz is going to put him on every power play. He's going to play...
But that's not 22 minutes. That's maybe 6 minutes.
Okay, 22 minutes is an exaggeration. Like 19 minutes. Like, he'll play... Top 6 minutes plus, like, you know, 110 to 120 of the first power of the power play time.
So
all the time.
17 minutes. That's max.
No, I mean, like, 120 per power play.
Oh.
Like, if it's two minutes, so he plays like a minute and a half per power play. So, yeah. Obviously, wherever Simmons goes, his fantasy value is rocketing. Because third line 5-on-5 sucks. I mean, yeah, Patrick's been getting some points for him, and the power play is okay, but, I don't know. So.
I agree. Yeah. I like him somewhere else.
Yeah, I like him somewhere else. Yeah.
I think that'll be a sneaky pick. I don't think he's drafted very much. He's been doing pretty poor lately.
Yeah.
So he's probably on the waivers somewhere. Keep an eye on that. What about a couple guys from the Rangers? We got Hayes and Zuccarello have been coming up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Both have been playing really good, both career years, both coming to the end of their contracts. Hayes is a restricted free agent, I believe.
Yeah, I think Hayes stays. A good rhyme, but nonetheless, just because I think Hayes is actually a really good player, I think they should keep him.
Yep.
Zuccarello is older, small, he's not going to win you in the playoffs games kind of thing. Not that you need to be big in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but they should extract some value out of the guy while he still gets 55-point seasons. So I would love to see Zuccarello traded, what they could get back, who knows. The team wants to rebuild anyway, so whatever. Get younger, get picks, all that good stuff, so... I would love to see Zuccarello traded. I think he can still help a lot of teams. He's still a great playmaker, definitely a good second unit power play guy. Still skates hard, fights hard. So I think he's a great player, and he needs to be moved.
Needs to be moved.
Needs to be moved. It is a waste of time to have him on this team right now.
Yeah, it is. These are, for me, these are two players going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Like, I think Hayes is very valuable to the Rangers, and they'll see that, and they'll re-sign him.
Yeah.
Because he's the number one center there and getting lots of points career year, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Zuccarello, I think, is on the decline. He had a couple really good seasons where he was the only one scoring for the Rangers.
Yeah.
But he kind of reminds me of like a Hagelin. Like, he's going to bounce to a contender and then try to play, but it's not going to fit in. So he's going to be put down to the third line, just like Hagelin was in Pittsburgh. And then, he was traded again for another piece and then back and forth and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be... traded every year now.
He might bounce around if he leaves the Rangers, definitely, right? For sure. He might bounce around. We'll
he has see. A good spot in Rangers land right now because it's like they need people that are going to score and he's comfortable in that system.
Yeah.
But as soon as he leaves, it's going to be like, oh, he's too small. He doesn't fit the system. He doesn't fit what we want to do.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have trouble.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I definitely think he's going somewhere at the end of this month and the Rangers have to move him, I think.
If Hayes moves, I'll be shocked because I think he's really good.
Hayes would be a very weird move just because, I mean, why? I don't know. It seems weird to trade a young, good, big centerman. I like him a lot. I think he's great. Like I said, yeah, you trade guys that you are, you know, that are, you know, stable, that people want in the playoffs. People want a third line depth. They want depth for the playoffs. You need depth. So
yeah.
Zuccarello on the third line is a huge depth player. That's a guy who can skate in the third line. So yeah, I would love to see him go. So we'll see what the Rangers do. They're definitely not in a buying mode, obviously, unless they pick up Panarin somehow, because New York is where he wants to live. but it would take a lot more than Zuccarello to get Panarin, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And Hayes, fantasy-wise, I'm buying. Zuccarello, I'm not doing anything with.
Yeah, I don't pick up Zuccarello wherever he goes. I don't care.
No. Hayes, if he goes somewhere...
Hayes, if he goes for a place that he could be a second centerman.
Yeah, but he could also lose value if he goes somewhere else.
Yeah. Also saying, yeah, if he drops anywhere... Well, he'll lose power play time no matter where he goes.
Like, if he goes to New Jersey because they need a second line center or something.
Yeah.
Like, I would almost get rid of him.
It's pretty close to cut, yeah.
Yeah. Panthers, we already talked about the Panarin and Bob stuff, so we won't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, we can skip that.
Talbot. This is turning into a nightmare season for Cam Talbot from the Oilers goaltender. Mm-hmm. First, he starts the year, loses his job to the backup, yeah. Kostikainen. He gains a little bit of traction, wins a couple,
yeah.
And then loses a couple more.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they re-sign.
Yeah, they give the backup...
with a three-year?
Yeah, three-year starter money.
So they pay him like a starter, and then Talbot just starts getting benched more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to let Talbot play last night. He gets lit up for five.
That was so beautiful.
So Talbot, I am 90% sure, is going to be traded before this... season is done. They obviously have different directions for their goalie. They have a nice bridge contract with Kostikainen where they're going to see what he can do for 3 years, maybe draft a goalie, maybe look to trade for a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no pressure on the goalie situation there now. Ship Talbot out. I said this in our fantasy chat. I already said the Talbot deal was done. I saw on Twitter, I said, oh, the deal's done. Talbot's going here. They've already reported it on Twitter. It's not done yet, but I think he's still going. He's got to be.
Yeah, what I think is happening, well, in my dream, well, not dream scenario, in my brain, I picture Talbot going to Arizona along with Lucic. So I think they're going to do a thing where they give a bottom team with a lot of cap space a really good player plus a crappy contract. And then they get back nothing. Like, nothing. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, Vinny Hinostroza or something. Like, some guy like that. That's the only way these trades are going to make. The Oilers are so handcuffed with these crappy contracts, Russell's and Lucic's and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Or
it's going to be for like a couple picks, like
yeah.
a third round this year and a second next year.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Do you think I had a crazy, crazy thought yesterday about what I would do if I was running the Oilers. And I wanted to run this by and see what people thought. Okay, so if they can't do anything in the next, like, say, 2 years... do you just trade McDavid? Do you just trade? You get four
no.
first-round picks. You get a bunch of roster players, and you just move on, and you just, like, go. Because, I mean, the team is so crippled in the present that is there a point of wasting a guy's prime years on a team that'll never be competitive? I mean, that's the thing. Unless these guys can do some serious magic offseason stuff by dropping these contracts and somehow turning... Puljujarvi or Yamamoto's into like wingers that can help.
Oh.
This team is it's wasted. It's
okay.
Dead.
Cause slow down a little bit. How long do you think his prime years are going to be?
Well,
it took Ovechkin 8 years to win his first cup.
Well, cups. I mean, cup is different. I just mean like talent years.
But that's the same thing though with McDavid. He can stay there 8 years to build them into a contender and win a cup. That's not hurting anyone.
Yeah. I mean, but I just, yeah.
You can't. You can't trade a Crosby. You can't trade an Ovechkin. You can't trade a McDavid. You're not going to trade Kucherov or Stamkos. Like, if those players get traded, they're at the end of their career,
yeah.
And they're just trying to have one last push. McDavid will stay there for as long as he can, and he's going to get a 100-point season every year. And when he got drafted, I'm sure he looked at the roster and said, it's going to be 5 years till we're viable.
Well, he had Taylor Hall. He was happy, man.
Well, then, yeah.
He had a team. He had Taylor Hall. He had Eberle. He had a top six. But now, I mean, the team's done. I mean, I don't know. If I'm Connor McDavid, I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're getting paid $1 billion. Like, I would still be, like, how you not go to head office and be like, you know what? Maybe trade me, guys. Take the four firsts.
No.
Take this. Get me to a contender. Get me out of this team. You can't tell me he's excited to be playing Edmonton right now. The team's, like, what does he get out of playing? I don't know. That's why like I said, it's a crazy thought. Don't worry, I'm not like entertaining this, but it's just like in a bizarro universe, and I was somehow this. I was like, maybe this is something that could be done to help the Oilers because I don't know they're in a load of trouble.
What did they sign him for? How many years? Was it eight?
It's gotta be the eight, the max.
The
yeah.
eight.
Yeah.
So let's say he's played two of that contract.
Probably around.
If he's in the mindset that you are, you don't just go to the GM and say I want out.
No. You never
say, yeah. I'll give you 3 years. I'll give you half the contract. Mm-hmm. I'll give you 4 out of the 8 years. And if you don't start turning us around into a contender after those four, I'm going to start asking for a trade, or I'm going to start asking other questions about what we can do here.
Because, I mean, like, next year is
but he's not going to leave. He's not just going to go and say now.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not going to say he's going to leave. But I mean, like, okay, next year's a wash for sure. Like, he has to know next year is nothing's improving. The cap is still brutal. They have no players.
They make the playoffs next year as the eighth team or as the wild card.
Sure, best case scenario.
Okay, best case, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, right now he looks in the net. He's like, okay, our goaltender sucks right now. We have all this, like, we're done there. He looks at his wingers. He's got Ty Ratty, who went to waivers and then came back and is, like, back on his team again. I mean, it's just, I don't know what you do. And it's just like, like I said, whatever. I can move on. It's just a crazy, crazy scenario in my head. And I was trying to think about how I could salvage the Oilers. Obviously, trading a generational best player to ever play in the NHL, talent-wise, is an insane thought. But that team is garbage. It's garbage, 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 garbage. And I don't know. And I'm not thinking as a Connor McDavid's best for him. I'm thinking as like a best for the Edmonton Oilers scenario. I mean, what's the point of having a guy who scores 120 points if you guys never make the playoffs? I mean, that's just the thing. So it's not like he's helping the team anyway. I mean, yeah, of course he's helping the team. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like it's, you know, producing team-wide results because you can't as one player. So
their depth is okay. Like, they got some young guys.
Their center depth is okay.
And even like,
look at that. They broke up the line already. They already broke up Connor and Draisaitl. Like, how long is that going to last? Like, two periods?
Like, Chiasson's okay. They got Puljujarvi. That could be a trade chip, but they need someone to play with McDavid.
Yeah.
Lucic and Ratty is not going to. That's what would make me angry.
That's what I'm saying.
Connor McDavid.
Yeah, so I'm saying that's something. That's how trapped you are. I mean, like, you've been here.
This is what you're going to give me?
You're a good soldier. You think a guy who can't skate as half as fast as me is, like, the option? And you give him 6 years? I mean, you trade a guy who, like, arguably could keep up with me and Taylor Hall, whatever. I could rage on forever. Just a random thought I had about that. Let me know what you guys think. Fantasy NHL talk.
Yeah.
Give it to me if you want. But that is my freak speculation of trading McDavid is getting you. You get four firsts because he's worth it, and you get a couple and a bunch of roster players because it's a generational talent. He's worth anything.
Yeah. You need to.
Like, you could do McDavid. You could trade Lucic, Russell with him, still get four firsts, and just totally get the team back on track. But whatever. Something to think about. So we can move on.
I got a trade in my mind before we move on. To
you
next
see,
one.
I see. It's good. It's good.
See, now I'm starting to think.
Yeah, get on my level.
They make a swing for Stone and Duchesne. Duchesne would play well with McDavid.
Yeah,
he'd be fine.
Yeah,
and then Stone would slot into the second, so Ryder would move down.
I would just immediately put them all on the same line.
Yeah,
just be like,
oh, and get Ratty out of there.
Yeah, I would just immediately Duchesne, like, Gratz, McDavid. You now have Duchesne and Stone. Duchesne's a centerman, whatever. Put him on the wing. Draisaitl can have now. Well, he actually downgrades in wingers if he goes from whatever he has to Lucic, Ratty. I mean, oh god.
But then
the team just makes me mad.
Edmonton just needs to send like Puljujarvi. They'll send him, and then
hope Yamamoto turns in.
Then a couple picks.
Turns in picks.
And Ottawa would love that. Ottawa would love to have the picks. A young guy coming over. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can only get one. Maybe they just got Duchesne. That's still better on the top line than Lucic, right?
Yeah. But it's just like, I mean, like, next year they've already lost. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do about it. It's just like, and it's just so weird to have a situation like that. And since we're talking about crazy trades and stuff like that, that is just something I'd love to see. And I fear for them getting Simmons or something, and that's what freaks me out.
Yeah.
I just fear for them being like, this is gonna put another Band-Aid on it and
Shirelli's fired. He's
and
gone.
Get a winger. Oh, I know, but I mean, like, Keith Gretzky's in, who's also garbage, so it doesn't matter. So it's all bad. I feel for you Oilers fans out there. So
hopefully it starts turning around. But if you're McDavid, you're saying, you know, I'll give you 5 years out of this 8 year contract, and then if nothing's going on, I'm gonna look for a trade.
Yeah, I mean, like, 2 years from now your team hasn't made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you're still playing with these no-names.
Yeah.
You got to be raging, dude. You got to be the first.
Just give me Leon on my line,
get
please.
Get me out.
Okay, let's go to the trade that I just mentioned there with Stone and Duchesne. They're both on their way out. You've said this from day one.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're doing pre-season,
I think it was
podcast.
Preseason. I was like, you draft these guys because they're going to get traded, and this is the time now.
Yeah. Duchesne and Stone are going to go. Ottawa has No, Ottawa has not given them offers, I believe.
Oh, they're not contracted? Yeah.
It's
I think Duchesne was supposed to talk about it, but that's all, who knows.
One of the sides didn't give offers. I think it was the Stone and Duchesne were waiting for them to get offers from Ottawa, but there hasn't been anything sent yet. Yeah. So that's obviously speculation that they're going to be traded if they don't have an offer already.
Yeah.
It's trade month.
Ottawa is the last in the league.
Yeah.
Literally. They're the last team in the league.
There was a rumor earlier this week that Stone was going to Winnipeg.
I like it.
They need wingers.
They need wingers.
Yep.
Winnipeg
is hurting a little bit right now. Yep. They're realizing that they need more depth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they won 9-3, but beyond that, you still need
that
to win.
One game.
Yeah, and it was whatever, the Ducks. It was because Perry was back.
The minute muncher Perry.
The kiss of death, yeah. First line, Corsi master. Yeah, no, Stone and Duchesne need to get traded. Wherever Stone goes is going to be amazing. I think Stone is a God-tier player. I'm an idiot because I cut him, but nonetheless, I still think he's going to continue on his maniac pace no matter where he goes. Obviously, he'll get even more points. So definitely a target to look at. If someone has Stone in your league and you can make some trades, pick him up because he's going to go somewhere even better. Like, literally better. He'll be fine. I think it's a great target right now. And get him. Duchesne.
I think both these players actually will go up when they get traded.
And Duchesne, of course, yeah. Wherever they're going, they're getting top six on a team that doesn't suck. So it's going to be fantastic for both of those guys.
Duchesne to Edmonton. Now that I said it, I like it. Imagine Duchesne playing on
skate.
That top line.
Yeah, he can skate. I like these are the kind of things I like, but I mean, what can you give Ottawa?
You send him Puljujarvi and a pick. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Puljujarvi's a good young player and then a pick. Ottawa wants lots of picks. That's a deal right there.
Two Canadians there.
I'm just going to phone up the GMs right now and Keith, work this deal out.
Keith Gretzky, it's me.
Duchesne. You need to do this trade right now.
Duchesne for Puljujarvi. Do it, my son.
And a pick.
And a pick, sure.
Yeah, rebuild Ottawa and then give Edmonton something to hope for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious where these guys are going to end up.
What about Duncan Keith?
Well, yeah, we said that he was told to waive his no trade clause.
Yeah. They went to him and they said, "Okay, can you move your no trade clause?" Yeah. Keith said, "Yes."
Yeah.
Clause, sorry.
So it's a team team that needs a defenseman not to be a number 1, but still be good and have the mega leadership qualities that Keith has.
Yes.
So
just solid all around.
I'm trying to think of a young team that's like performing and is going to make the playoffs. I can't really think of too many examples right now.
Oh, Vancouver.
Keith in Vancouver would be so sick, but like would the crowd accept him? Would you accept an ex-Chicago player?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, didn't Keith like kill one of your players back in the day? Like, didn't he?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, Keith was all over the place.
Yeah, like,
he was one of the reasons they won.
Yeah. Like, I thought Keith, like, took out one of the scenes behind the net or something and just, like, annihilated him. Or maybe that was a different player, but, I mean, Chicago's not going anywhere this year.
What about a team like Philly?
I don't know if it does enough.
But they don't need any. They need defense.
But
it's
not like he'd be a great mentor for Provorov and a lot of those guys, so it's not awful. I don't think Keith commands a ton of, you know, clout at this point in his career.
Yeah.
So we'll see where he ends up. I'm just trying to think of young
Vancouver.
Like,
I love it.
All the big teams, like Calgary doesn't need him, San Jose doesn't need him, Vegas would be kind of cool, but he wouldn't last long enough. Winnipeg doesn't need him. Nashville, there's no way.
Dallas? Well,
Dallas, okay, but not really. What do we got in the East? Islanders, no. Winnipeg, or sorry, Washington, no. Pittsburgh, no. Tampa, super no. Toronto, super no. Montreal, no.
They would just be getting older. On
yeah,
defense,
it doesn't help them there. Boston, no.
Columbus.
I don't hate it on Columbus. At least it's a good guy to help with Werenski and Seth
Keith
Jones.
Keith for Panarin.
Yeah.
Panarin goes back to play with Kane?
Yeah, I mean, you give him a bunch more.
Oh.
Do Keith and Dylan Strome or something for Panarin. There you go. Get him back.
There you go.
So I don't hate that. That's kind of an idea.
That's an interesting idea.
Does
Keith have any fantasy relevance if he goes to a contender or anyone else?
I don't think he has anything. He's not going to slot in any of the top power play units. He's just going to be told, hey, man, you know, just help teach our young defense how to play. Give us your sweet nuggets of knowledge.
Carolina.
Coach us. Yeah, exactly. So I think he's got to go to a team with a young D-line where people will literally look up to him and be like following him around like a puppy and be like, you know, you were the GOAT. You were the best player. You were Conn Smythe winner. I mean, the guy is one of the best defensemen to play the game if the stats aren't there, like, point-wise. But he's absolutely one of the most dominant players I've ever seen in the playoffs. Like,
yeah, and to have defense that are dominant like that, like Lindstrom comes to mind.
Yeah.
And they, like, just control the game.
It's that tier, yeah. Keith plays 30 minutes in a playoff game. So he plays... It's like that one year that he won, it was superhuman. It was superhuman, yeah, the amount of time this guy played. I mean, they played... It was... Yeah, what I said. Not a Chicago fan, but boy, was... You couldn't deny Keith. You couldn't deny Keith. He was so good. So I would love to see him go somewhere on a young team. That'd be my only restriction. So I do like a Columbus because there's lots of young D there. Carolina's a great another one. So Vancouver would be amazing. Yeah. Same thing. So
yeah. Let's move on to... There's a couple more, and then we'll get into just some random news and notes. Ferland, a lot of people have been saying that he's going to leave Carolina.
Yeah, he wants a raise. Carolina Pittsburgh doesn't want to pay him. Again, yeah.
Is he going
good
to
rental? Good rental. So, I don't
having
think
a great year.
Yeah, he's having a great year. He's a good player. He obviously proved that he was pretty good. People thought, myself included, that he was just going to suck in Carolina because he needed to play Goudreau. He hasn't sucked, but he's been okay. Or, well, he's been good for sure.
He's been good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, he's a winger that checks. He's a perfect playoff type player. So, yeah. Any team that wants to make a run at it is. They'll get a good player. So I actually can't even think of a single team because every team could use him.
Yeah.
So.
And he is definitely a player that we need to see where he goes.
Yeah, for rest of the year
fantasy.
It has
to be what team is it? Because obviously in Calgary, he was okay and getting his footing, and then Carolina, he's just blown up.
Yeah. Like, if he goes to a true contender, his fantasy value is garbage because he will be third line because they just need these depth guys. They're not going to just all of a sudden... Most contenders don't need a top six. They don't need a guy to... save their top six.
Right.
So, depends where he goes. Most likely, he's going to go to a contender because that's the only teams that are buying right now. So, as soon as Ferland gets traded, I would cut him off your team and move on because, like I said, he's not going to...
Or capitalize on his value before...
Yeah, or trade him now or something. Or trade him as soon as he gets traded.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, he went to Pittsburgh. He's going to play with Crosby. Yeah, sure, he's going to play with Crosby. Okay.
Yeah.
yeah, I'll take your Kyle Connor off you or something or whatever kind of thing. So,
yeah, I like it.
Definitely a way to do that.
Eric Staal.
Yeah, I think Eric Staal has to be traded.
He's just kind of eaten up a lot of cap space, not really performing.
Yeah, he's had a garbage year this year after having an amazing career year last year.
What's Minnesota doing, though?
They're
in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to win, so there's no point of having him, in my opinion. Any contender would love to have Eric Staal as their third-line center, so I have no problem with that. I hope he goes somewhere. I don't think you have to pay a lot for him. Maybe you pay a second or a third or something, and you just get a rental, and who knows from there. There's no way Eric Staal is part of the Minnesota grand plan in the future. The guy has like 30 points, so
yeah.
I think they got everything out of him last year, as freak a year as it was, and he's toast. So,
what are you doing as the GM in Minnesota right now? Like, are you rebuilding? Are you?
You just stand pat with your crappy average team.
Like, you're not going to make a push?
There's nothing you can do.
You got to buy Ferland.
I would love them to buy Panarin. I'd love them to buy a winger or something, or buy somebody. But that's just not Minnesota style, man.
You got to move Spurgeon.
They don't do anything. They sit there and they wait, and they just wait and wait, and they only sign people in the offseason. So my mind would explode if they actually tried to make something this year, because if not, it's the same thing. They're going to get bounced in six games in the first round no matter what. So
yeah,
whatever. We'll see what Minnesota does. But we'll see if Staal's part of their plans. Even if I made the playoffs, I'd trade Staal. Just get the value. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like I said, your team's not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You gotta look at your record.
Yeah.
And see, like, you're 30-30.
Yeah.
You're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Like, what are you gonna do from here?
Yeah.
You're just gonna coast, or do you want to do something?
Yeah.
Either buy or sell. I hate people that coast. Same in fantasy, right?
Yeah.
People that are coasting in the middle. You're not buying. You're not selling. What are you doing?
Yeah, boom and bust, man. Play it. Do it.
Exactly. You're going for the win every year.
No, I agree.
All right, let's just touch on a couple other news things before we get to the kudos. Marner's going to get flooded with offer sheets.
Yeah, there hasn't been an offer sheet since Ryan O'Reilly. The GOAT himself got one. But I hope...
He looks like a GOAT, you mean?
He does look like a GOAT, you're true. But I hope they do. I mean, it would be hilarious for Toronto to, like, say that we can keep all the kids, and then they pay Nylander all this money, who is a garbage, and then all of a sudden Marner gets a 10.5 offer sheet from a team, and it's like, okay,
yeah.
This sucks.
Can we just let that sit in for a little bit?
Be so beautiful.
They paid someone that didn't play an NHL game yet this year.
Yeah.
They have an 80 assist guy in Marner that's lighting it up.
Yeah.
But they're paying the guy that hasn't played a game yet.
No, I know. I would. Whatever.
Do we even need to say anything?
I just want to be like, Nylander, you know what? Take the year off at this point. Like, who cares? We're not paying you. We'll come back next year. Because it's just like, oh, whatever. Unless he has the best playoffs of his life and changes my mind, I have no interest in Nylander. I think
he won't be drafted in fantasy next year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely not. I don't think in our league. Maybe very late by the random Leaf homer, but it's tough. So yeah, there's just Matthews contract extensions. I keep seeing popping up.
Yep.
So he'll get pretty close to 11. So he'll be a monster contract. We just read before the podcast that Marner wants Matthews money, which I think he very much deserves.
Yeah.
I think Marner's a better player than Matthews. I don't care what people think.
Hot take.
I think he's the best Leaf. And so I would love to see him. Well, I don't love. He's going to get the money.
Yeah.
Whether it's with Toronto or whether it's another team.
Yeah,
he's going to get paid. He's the dish master of the dish masters in the world. He's a better 21-year-old Backstrom. The guy's 80 assists. He's Joe Thornton on steroids. Like
young, right? You young get those guys Joe young Thornton. And you want them, yeah.
He makes anyone he plays with better.
Yep.
Anyone.
Yep.
So I love the guy. He's going to get paid. I hope it'd be cool if he could stay a Leaf, obviously, for Leaf fans. But I'm curious to see some offer sheet drama. Yeah, I've never actually... Never actually seen it in actual real life, so it'd be pretty cool.
Okay, a couple of other things to note. Bufflin's skating again.
That's great news.
Be ready to put him back in your lineup.
Get Morrissey off the power play finally.
And then Klefbom is also coming back for Oilers. Oilers have just been terrible without him.
Yeah, we'll see if there's any impact there. If there's anything, Nurse gets a slap in the wrist down a bit. I don't know.
I would pick up Klefbom.
Yeah.
He was doing really good, and Oilers definitely need him.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to talk about on this podcast is something not to do in fantasy hockey. Okay. Someone in our league did this. So Corey Perry had a lot of talk about him on Twitter and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Pick up Corey Perry off the waivers. Do I stash him? What do I want to do with Corey Perry? I've been saying you're in a position to pick him up. You have a spot. You have a dead player or someone that's injured. Pick him up.
Sure.
Stash him.
Yes.
But if you are picking up Corey Perry and turfing someone else that's been producing for you, that's the no.
Yeah.
That's what I want to tell people not to do. In our league of record, Corey Perry was picked up and James Van Riemsdyk was cut.
Yeah. So JVR, just a backstory, he's had 10 points in 9 games. I think it was, or 9 in 10. So it's not like he's been no slouch. Granted, it was the Ducks homer in our league. Not to just be like the whole podcast flaming guys, but... No,
but this is just to make that point.
Go with the points, guys. Follow the points. Perry, look at his points last year. He's not going to come back and all of a sudden be like 40 goal scorer Perry. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
These guys are garbage. They're injured. They're old. You can't trust them. You leave guys like this on the waiver wires on purpose.
And generally kind of like a rule of thumb, if you're asking, like let's say you're asking us, at Fantasy NHL Talk on Twitter.
By the way.
you're asking us on Twitter, should I drop Kevin Hayes for Corey Perry to stash? If you're actually thinking about that, the answer is always no.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Because you're having a hard time saying that Kevin Hayes has to get dropped for this guy that's coming back from injury. Then no. Don't do it. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if he's going to get injured again. You don't know if he's going to perform. You don't know anything. Stick with what you know.
Yeah, so many things have to go right for him to perform.
Yeah.
Or you got a guy who's already performing. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to look cool, I guess, kind of thing? To be like, oh, savvy manager picked up Perry,
got
baby.
Perry off the waivers.
He's back. Had he first game. It's like, no. Like, yeah, he may just stick to, like, fantasy is won by boring, consistent play.
Yep.
It is a long season. It is grinding. It is getting points from guys you don't care about. It doesn't matter. You just stay the course. You draft what you draft. You pick up what you pick up. You don't go, oh, Perry's a shiny piece. He's the one. So I feel like we're just flaming this guy in our league. It's like incredibly bad.
No,
but it did happen this morning. We were talking about him. We're like, man. And I was like, JVR's not even cold. Like, it's not even like you drop a cold player. It's like, you have to think, like, is Perry going to outperform a guy who has 9 points in 10 games?
Yeah.
Like, to do that, you have to be, like, year one player. I mean, like,
and just to come back from an injury and all of a sudden get right back into the swing of things.
Yeah, sure.
If he gets 10-10, then you know, foot in my mouth, egg on my face.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Props to you. If Perry lets you win, I like high five, dude. Like, I will.
And it's not just about Perry. It's about any guy. Anyone that's coming
like
back.
That. Yeah.
If you have room for them, you have an injury, you have an IR spot, or you have a stash bench or something. Bench,
yeah.
That's fine to do.
Yeah.
But if you're like an active roster player, never do that. Yeah. Stick with what you know. Stick with the players that have been performing for you.
Yeah.
If they're cold, you know, move your bench around. Think about that. But don't those questions that come in that they're asking, like, should I just drop this player for Corey Perry? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Why would you just drop? Like, why would you drop a Furland for Corey Perry?
Yeah. Don't drop anyone. Yeah.
Don't drop someone that you're actively playing right now unless they're just zeros across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got a guy who's whatever, 0-10. Okay, yeah, you got a thinker, sure, take some new blood on your team. But you just got to, like, think about it. Like,
or do you want Niederreiter or do you want Perry?
Yeah.
Like, Niederreiter was available in most leagues
until
this trade.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to be.
So if you're really contemplating dropping someone, like, that's cold, think of these players that are producing, not an injury player that's coming back.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about, like, a Steven Stamkos that was out a year. Or something.
Yeah, sure, if it's some actual star. Like, I mean, I stashed Weber because then when Weber came back, he is the number one defenseman on that team, and he will perform. Weber performs. It's not like he came off, like, but then you get Perry, who comes off his worst statistical year.
He had 20 points or something last year?
He had, like, 20 points. Who knows if he even plays with Getzlaf? And if he doesn't play with Getzlaf, he has no 5-on-5. The guy can't skate anymore. It's just, he's a broken, he's dead weight. So, whatever.
I hope my Twitter feed is just all Perry questions from now on. It's just like, oh, should I take Perry or this guy? Perry or this guy?
Goudreau hasn't scored in, like, one game.
Should I pick up Perry?
I'm thinking Perry. See Perry? What do you think?
Is the internet's going to do that to me now.
It'd be like, ugh.
It's just going to be Perry questions. Curse you, Twitter.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm deleting the account.
Yeah,
the account's gone now. I don't want to handle these Perry questions.
Yeah, we'll just close. Disable comments for a month. And then just come back.
Oh, I would laugh. That's got to be a meme somewhere. Someone needs to make that into a meme and then, like, send it to us. All right. That's it. That's all the trade talk we wanted to get into today. Obviously, stuff's going to start heating up. We'll try to get you guys some more, you know, plays of the week and stuff as we get back into some more hockey here.
Yeah.
We got one kudos. Or I got one kudos, and it's the Super Bowls today. I got snacks laid out on the counter. Bowls are ready. I'm excited.
So it's going to be sweet, man. Whether you like Brady or hate Brady, doesn't matter. It's either one or the other. There's no middle ground. So it's exciting. I know in the whole United States, you think it's 50-50? Or you think it's like 70-30 for the Rams?
Oh, I think it's 80.
Like 80-20?
Yeah,
90-10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more than that. People do not like the Patriots, especially in the States.
Yeah, I'm trying to think outside of New England, like, is there a random... Yeah, so I was thinking, like, maybe, 80-20 is probably fair.
Yeah.
4 to 5 people probably want Rams
to win. It's going to be like all the, like, the Boston area.
Yeah, for sure.
And stuff like that. And then it's going to be the people that played against the Rams and lost.
Yeah.
So, like, all the Saints fans are now going to be Patriots fans for this game.
True.
Because they just lost, right?
Sure.
It's like, I hate the Rams. I don't want to do this. Yeah. So it's going to be a good one. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm going to say something that's really weird to say, but I am getting a little bit of Super Bowl fatigue with the Patriots being in it every year, and I'm a Patriots fan. Like, that's a real thing, is, like, you don't have different teams playing in, there's not different players, you don't get to see exciting things. Like, I know what the Patriots are going to do. Like, I can call these plays down the middle to Edelman, this run game, the Gronk same, to the side.
Yeah, it's not like they're reinventing the wheel every year. It's same quarterback, same receiver, same thing. No, I totally agree. I mean, it'd be like,
and I still want to see my team win.
Yeah, I mean, if the Capitals made the Stanley Cup final every year, I wouldn't be happy anymore. I wouldn't care. I would be like, okay, we've won 5 times just compared to Brady or something. OBS 5 rings for some reason. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. They made it again. Hope they win, I guess.
I mean, different players get the rings, like Sony Michel, running back, having a ring and stuff would be cool. But with me going to, like, New Orleans this year and actually going to some Saints games, like, I got a little Saints fever.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, like,
or in
some
the
new
final,
fan
right?
bases, yeah, for sure.
Just to have a little more variety of who's like, and I like the Rams. Like, I like certain players on the Rams, too. I don't have anything against them. So it's going to be a good game to watch. I'm excited. I'm excited for the food. Every year we do we keep have our fantasy football league at someone's house, and we prepare food from the city that's hosting the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
So this year it's everything from Atlanta, so a lot of comfort food like chicken, waffles, seafood stuff, what else, like peach cobbler, cornbread, all that stuff that's from Atlanta. So we're gonna have a big feast of Atlanta meal.
Nice.
Enjoy the game. It should be like 30 odd people here, so I'm excited. Go Pats!
Go Pats. I like it.
You got a kudos for this week before we sign off?
My kudos kind of sucks, but whatever. So I went to Wendy's, and they have this keychain thing. And the keychain is you pay $2, and you get a Frosty on your keychain that says 2019. Now, that sounds kind of lame, but anytime you buy a combo from Wendy's, you show your key tag, and you get a free Frosty.
Ooh.
So for the entire year. So it pays for itself the first time. The money goes to charity, so heart and stroke or whatever. So props to them. Heart disease is, you know, sucks and all. But I'm eating a Frosty currently. So Wendy's, if get at me if you want to sponsor me. I do want to try those spicy chicken that's been being promoted. So I could
saw that on the score.
I could use some of those. It is a presidential food, as you found out. So the presidents choose Wendy's. No, I love Wendy's, and I just want to show it. It's a charity thing. It costs $2. Go out there. If you're there for some reason, pick up the keychain. It looks cool. And anytime you get a combo for the rest of the year, you get a free Frosty. Give it to your friend. Give it to your kid. Give it to whoever. Or eat it yourself. It pays itself off, and you're doing a good thing. So, it's kind of a lame kudos, but whatever. Shout out to the charity. And
hey, we
I love Frosties. It's one of my favorite things. So, super exciting kudos. So that's all.
We talked about All-Star game. We talked about trades.
Yeah.
We speculated. We talked about the Super Bowl.
Talked about
Frosty. Why not talk about Frosties?
Yeah, why not?
We're a podcast of many faces today. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We will talk to you later. Keep those questions coming in at Fantasy NHL Talk. And I can't wait to hear more about your Perry situations that you want Corey Perry on your team.
Yes, please.
Go Pats.